Amen, amen. How's everybody doing? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm drunk, so don't just gonna have to bear with me. Praise God. I mean, it's a good drunk, though. That's the good thing about it. Glory to God. I just want to welcome all the internet students. We just came out of a dynamic teaching session, prayer meeting with the apostle. And it was tremendous. It was awesome. Praise God. Matter of fact, my message actually got changed in the midst of his teaching. We're going to start off on chapter 11, and then we're going to just get into some things. One of the things God really just began to deal with me about is yielding to the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit of God. That's so very important that you know how to yield properly. When you yield, you're giving God the right of way. You're giving him the ability to take control over your life, and you just yield and just follow him and flow with him. You know, yielding to God and flowing with God. In the Acts of the Apostles, one of the things we see demonstrated is men and women of God yielding to the Spirit of God. A lot of those were the Bible said they were unlearned men. They didn't have a lot of teaching ability, but they learned how to yield to the Spirit of God. One of the things that struck me about the New Testament church was started in Jerusalem. Jesus told his disciples not to leave Jerusalem. He said, stay here and stay in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. Because he knew how important. I'm getting just a little feedback. I don't know why is that. Okay, thank you. We're just going to have to bear with it. He's working with it. But he told them to yield, you know, to stay in Jerusalem and not to, you know, just stay in terror, just to wait on the promise. One of the things the apostle was talking about today was the importance of having an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit and spending time with him. And knowing his voice and knowing his yielding, knowing his the one of the things he always talked about is the wooing of the Holy Spirit and how to flow properly. God wants to do so much in our lives. We are studying the New Testament church, and in the study of the New Testament church, we want to see, Lord, what is your original plan? What is your original purpose? And why are you, you know, why is it so important for us to get back to your original plan? Because when you get back to God's original plan, you're getting back to the grassroots of what Christianity and what the move of the Spirit and what God initially intended for the saints to operate in, the gifts of the Spirit, signs and wonders, manifestations start to take place, and God begin to use people as we yield. You know, we're just clay, but when we put that clay into the master's hand, God is able to yield and to shape us and to mold us into everything that he wants us to be. One of the first things we talk about in chapter 11, and we've talked about it already, is the universal church. And we know that the universal church is the church that Jesus said that he was going to set up. That universal church is not churches, but the church that Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah, Brother Fred, it's a lot better. Thank you, sir. That's that universal church that it talks about in the book of Acts. And the author points out here, and he says, you know, coming out of Matthew 16 and 18. But then there's the local church. That local church, it says on the B part here, and I guess it's around page 50, it says, however, within the universal church, there is many churches in many various localities, all replicas and part of the whole. The concept was from the whole to the part and the part to the whole. And one of the things about the local church is no different from the universal church. The only thing that separates them is geography. You know, different churches in different localities, but same Lord, same God, same baptism, same Holy Spirit, you know, flowing together. There was no tradition. There was no, organization or in bylaws. A lot of times you have churches that have different bylaws, rules, and regulations, and you got to be careful, because what happens is you get into legalism. You get into where our doctrine, or the way we've been taught, go this way. One of the things as a Christian that we need to understand is we need to know how to flow with the Holy Spirit. Remember, I shared last week, I said several years ago, the apostle, he was traveling with prominent ministers. And then all of a sudden, the Lord told him to, this was going to be your last time. I'm doing something different. And the apostle made a turn. You know, one of the things I learned, because I kind of stayed going in one direction and he made a turn, I lost some ground, because when he made that shift, I should have been more sensitive. You know, and you're sensitive by watching. You know, when I found out that the apostle was going to be at prayer meeting, I said, okay, I was downstairs just meditating, praying the Holy Spirit. I said, I need to be where my man of God is. You know, whoever God has called you to, and whatever ministry God has called you to be a part of, you need to. One of the things he was talking about a little while ago, honor that anointing that's on his life. You know, honor the man of God. Serve him, you know, and by doing that, by honoring him, by serving him, your individual gifts, your individual talents, whatever God has for you is going to begin to flourish and to blossom, simply because the anointing that's on his life, you know, as you sit, listen, learn, you know, and begin to operate and begin to practice what you see, then that anointing, which is transferable, is transferred from your apostle, your prophet, you know, your pastor, the person that God has assigned you to. That anointing gets on you. You remember he talked about the anointing within and the anointing upon? The anointing within is the Holy Spirit comes in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and that's for your private individual worship. You know, he talked a lot about, and we've been noticing in our services how the worship has increased sevenfold. And that's because people are focused in one mind and in one accord. All through the book of Acts, we see the disciples, the apostles, all those who were in the upper room, and even after the 3,000 got added to the church after Peter preached, you know, they were always in one accord, and they were on in harmony. That word harmony or one accord means as a symphony. If you ever been to a concert where there's an orchestra, I'm not talking about a Rick James concert, you know, or Alicia Keys concert, but I'm talking about a concert where there's string instruments, there's cellos, oboes, violins and what have you, violas, and everybody's playing the same note, and it sounds like one sound. You see, when we all are praising God and worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it's a sweet-smelling savor in the ear of the Father. And you see, one of the things in the local church, I'm trying to stick with the lesson, but at the same time, I'm still hearing things the apostle said. One of the things that's so very important in a local church, it doesn't have to be a lot of people. Get building out of your mind and get people on your mind. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's the church. You know, two or three people gather together in the midst. You know, he says, I'm going to be in the middle of it. And when you're in one accord, his presence. You see, in the Old Testament, and we've talked about this, in the Old Testament, the only place that the anointing of God was present was in the temple or in the tabernacle. And people had to go to the high priest where the temple and the tabernacle was to experience that Shekinah glory of God. And they would bow down and they would worship God. But there was nowhere else where that presence was there. But you see, when Jesus died, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent or torn from the top to the bottom. That temple was about 40 feet long, 20 feet high, and that curtain was about 4 inches thick. And I never forget, Kenneth Hagin made the analysis, by all unseen probability, an angel ripped that curtain from the top to the bottom. And from that point on, anybody could look into the Holy of Holies. Because before, you could not, if you weren't the high priest, you couldn't go in there. But see, God's presence no longer dwells in earthen made temples any longer. You and I, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk in them. I will talk through them. They will be my people and I will be their God. I'm going to dwell in you. You know, so the local church is any group of believers, two or three gathered together. And you see, when the church first started out in the book of Acts, they were going from house to house. They were going, you know, getting together as a group, having prayer meetings. And even though on one part of Jerusalem they might have been a congregation or a group of people, they were in complete and total harmony to somebody who was on the other side of town. You know, because they were always in one accord. Because there was one mind, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so there was no such thing as, well, I'm a Baptist. But see, what happens is, over time, and you see it in the scriptures, they let carnality creep in. They let legalism creep in. One said, well, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, and Paul said, you are yet carnal, you know, because you started off in the spirit, but now you're being made perfect in the flesh, you know. And God is no respecter of persons. You know, God wants to fill each and every person with his precious Holy Spirit. God wants to, he wants to anoint people and equip them for service. And that's so very important. As you recognize and begin to flow with God and let God have complete control of your life. You know, but that's, you know, talking about the local church. You know, the local church, it says, is anywhere, irregardless of place. You know, I talked about the Old Testament, how the presence of God is no longer there. In the New Testament, it says we're going to be gathering in his name. You know, and that's so very important. You know, where two or three are gathered together in my name, you know, there am I in the midst. You know, here's something you definitely want to remember. There am I in the midst of them. Gathering in or into the name is a guarantee of God's presence in our midst. You know, the whole purpose of church is to get God's presence to cohabitate with us in our midst. The last couple of services, we've been having visitations from the Almighty God. You know, the worship and the praise, like I said, has magnified sevenfold simply because of being in one accord. You see, what you're experiencing, and I just want to encourage the online students, I know I'm sharing about experiences that happens at church or maybe at prayer meeting, but if you can go back and look at the archives and begin to look at some of these services, last week's service, the week's service before that, the upcoming service, you'll get an understanding of what I'm talking about, where worship is on a higher level, you know, being in one accord as a local body of believers, where the Spirit of God is being magnified. And God says, you know, where my name is and where my name is being magnified and glorified, I'm going to be in your midst. And whenever God shows up, he never shows up empty-handed. He always shows up with his goodness, you know, manifestations and gifts of the Spirit, healings, deliverances always take place, you know. People's hearts hard hearts are melted away, and commitments to serve God begins to increase on a higher level. Let me give you an illustration. When I first got saved, I was completely on fire for God. I can go and I've shared some of the testimonies in my earlier years of how God just, you know, I was just radical. But I was and God began to show me, because I had left tradition and everyone who was around me who were Christians, we just wanted to serve God. And even though we didn't know a lot, just like the early disciples, we just took the word of God literally for what it said. You know, when somebody needed healing, we laid hands on them and we believed the Bible. And people were getting healed. People were getting set free, getting filled with the Holy Spirit left and right. I can remember one particular situation. We went to just go get a birthday cake, and I think I might have shared this for a guy. And in the process, we started witnessing some people, and lo and behold, it started off with like three or four individuals, and the next thing you know, it was about 15 and 20 and 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 people standing around, and each one of us just took our turn, and we just shared what was on our heart. And then after it was all said and done, I think I was the last person to speak. I just gave her off the call and says, all those people who wants to serve God, get on this side. If you're going to live and serve the devil, get on that side. And about 40, 50 people came and got born again, you know. And this was out in the middle of, you know, on a campus, you know, in between some dormitories, you know. That's what the early church did. Basically, they just went around preaching and teaching and letting the Holy Ghost use them. People are tired of religion. The Bible says that because of the traditions of men, it makes the word of God to no effect. It smothers what God wants to do because it puts people in a box. You know, I remember pastors used to have this one box, and if you hit the button, it started knocking. Let me out of here. Let me out of here. Matter of fact, my wife ended up buying one. But, you know, people are you know, in tradition, they're in a box. They're confined by limitations. But in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, there is no limitation. You know, we serve a limitless God, you know. And one of the things I'm really learning through my apostles is there is always more in God that we can have. There's always more. Never get satisfied. Getting back to what I was saying earlier, there was a point where I actually, once I moved on and got married, and really we started to search for churches, we never could find anything that was satisfying that experience that I had initially had. And I found myself getting put back into that box. Even though I was going to Spirit-filled, you know, churches where people were getting saved, but there wasn't the liberality wasn't there like it should be. And then all of a sudden, some 25 or so years ago, 20 about 23 and a half years ago, we ended up coming to Word of Life. And all of a sudden, I began to sense that liberality. I began to sense the presence. And one of the things that always struck me about this ministry was the presence of God was upon the man of God. You know, God's anointing was there. And I said, Lord, one, if I didn't know nothing else about God, Father God, I recognize your anointing. You know, and there's something about being around the anointing of God that's undefinable. When you're in God's presence and God's presence is there, you know, you're just being consumed by it. And then you just allow God just to actually take over and take control, and then you're just a yielded vessel, you know. Go, like I said, giving God the right of way, amen. But anyway, that's the way the local church is supposed to operate. We're supposed to operate in a liberality, amen. The history of the Jerusalem church shows a decline from the glory unto, and I've talked about this, legalism. Secretism, or people getting just putting everything in a box, bigotry because of the legalistic of Judaism. You know, religion basically all Judaism is just a religion. It's just a defined creed or a code of conduct that people have decided that this is how we're going to live. These are the boundaries that we're going to, our religion or our particular group are going to abide by. But as I said, with God, there's really no boundaries. You know, one of the things the apostle always, you know, he's always pushing us for more of God. And one of the things we learned last year, even in the ways of revival, you know, God is always constantly moving forward. And sometimes a wave or a move can go on for years, and then it will eventually wane because God is about ready to do a new thing. But if you get comfortable in staying with the old move, whether it was a word of faith movement or whether it was a healing movement, and once that wave comes to the shore and begins to slow down, you know, you need to find, okay, what else is God doing? You know, we need to begin to move forward in new dimensions of God. And one of the things that I thank God for my apostle is he always wants to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing. And it challenges you. You know, when I came to this church, I began to be challenged spiritually. Matter of fact, I said, Lord, I'm not where I need to be. You know, I know there's more. But the only way for us to do that is you just dive into what God is doing head first and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. And I know that when I hit the water, your Holy Spirit is going to cause me to swim. And you begin to just swim into the anointing. The Bible talks about rivers of living water. We want to swim. We want waters to swim in. The Bible talks about in the book of Ezekiel how the water at one point was ankle deep. Then the water was knee deep. Then the water was to the loins, you know. And then it became to be waters to swim in. Then they said it was a river that could not be passed over. That's talking about the anointing. You know, when we're at a point where, you know, it's just totally God, and you're just consumed with his goodness, with God's loving kindness and God's tender mercies. And one of the things the apostle was saying earlier in the prayer meeting, Bible study / prayer meeting, he was talking about, you know, when that anointing is on you and people are around you who are a burden and a yoke, the anointing will deal with them. Because of your anointing, when people become a burden and a yoke to you, that anointing is designed to remove burdens and yoke. I heard one minister talk about the backhand of the anointing. You know, if you're getting in the way of what God is doing, if you're not careful, you're going to receive the backhand of the anointing. Because see, God wants to open his hands to us. But if you're hindering God, you're going to get the backhand. You know, that's because you're becoming a burden and a yoke. You know, I know in our apostolic strategy classes, the apostle was talking about resistors. And I had opportunity to see a situation firsthand about somebody who all of a sudden now they want to resist, you know, by coming against something that the apostle had said or was sharing with individuals. And the Lord began to show me. He said, you know, when you deal with resistors right, they can be turned. You know, a resistor aid. A lot of times it's just because of ignorance, of a lack of understanding. You know, it's, you know, they're set in their ways because they've been taught a certain way. But if you nurture them just right and turn them in the right direction and let them know if you don't understand something, just leave it alone and shut your mouth. You know, Pastor, he was talking about that. You know, about our mouth, what we say. You know. If you don't understand it, you just, Lord, I don't quite understand what's going on, but I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to receive. Even if I got to put it on a shelf, I'll come back and pick it up later when I'm able to digest it more. You know, a babe can only take so much, you know, but the Bible wants us to be able to endure strong meat. You know, things are accelerating now in the spirit. They're, you know, we're in overdrive and basically we're running to keep up. We're running to keep up. You know, I share with people, I say, Lord, you know, I'm really running to keep up with my man of God. Because, I mean, he's just, you know, he's in full throttle, you know, right now. I mean, I've been a part of this ministry for, you know, 23 plus years. And I've never seen the throttle pull back to that degree where I mean, it's just, you know, and I said, Lord, I'm just running to stay even in sight, you know. And what's happening is when you're around a genuine anointing, it's going to challenge you. It's going to propel you into greatness. It's going to take the slack out of your life. You know, that's what the anointing does. It's going to jerk all the slack out, and it's going to tighten up your belt, you know, girding up your loins so that you can go about and be about your Father's business. That's what it's all about. Being about your Father's business. That's what they did in the book of Acts. That's what they did in the New Testament church. They were about their Father's business. You know, I can remember there was a time, I know when I was a senior in college, I just knew God was coming back in another year or two. So I could care less about school. And I'm serious. There were days I would be in my room praying in the Holy Ghost, and it was time to go to class, and I was just enjoying it so much, I said, I won't be there today. And I'd be there sometime half the day praying in the Holy Spirit. But then all of a sudden, the Lord would send somebody along your way, and you get a chance to witness to them. They get saved. You know, I think a pivotal moment I never forget. One year I went out and I was praying and just enjoying God. And the Spirit of the Lord told me to get up and walk about a 3/4 of a mile down the road to a Methodist center. And he just told me to go to the Methodist center. I had the key to the building, and I had no idea why he wanted, but, you know, but you're just enjoying yourself in God. And all of a sudden, the Lord would give you an assignment. And so I stopped what I was doing, kept praying, but I got up, started walking. And when I got there, a young lady was sitting on the step crying. And I walked up to her and asked her what was going on. And she says, me and my boyfriend had an argument, and we got into a fight. And, basically, he forced himself upon me. It was a date rape. Back then, that word wasn't even used back in the late 70s, early 80s. But I began to minister to her, and she was bitter, and she was blaming herself for it. And I said, no, you didn't cause this, you know. I said, God loves you. And for a point, it looked like I wasn't getting the word. The Lord told me to tell her. He said, tell her that you're going in the building. If she wants to be helped, to come on in there with you, and we'll sit down and we'll minister to her. So I went in there and started piddling around. Didn't really have nothing to do, but I'm just obeying God. And so she had a decision to make, because she told me, she says, I came here because the only place I know to come was to the church. And she was coming to a physical building. Now, get what I'm about to say. You know, in her mind, if I could just go to the Methodist Center, maybe I can reach God there. You know, but God had to bring the church to her in the person of an individual to minister to her, you know. And so when I got there, you know, the Lord just instructed me to go after it seemed like I wasn't making no headway, to go on inside and tell her, you know, if you want to continue this conversation, and if you really want to get help, I'm going on the inside, and you come on whenever you get ready, and we'll share the word with you. So about 3 or 4 minutes later, she came in and just poured her heart out to me, and I began to give her instructions from the word of God. She not only got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, this individual's countenance completely changed, like day and night, from gloom and doom to hope and a fresh new beginning, you know. And God began to show me, you know, getting back to what the apostle said, you know, and I know the online students, and what did he say? He was just talking about spending time with God. God'll bring people in your path. You know, he'll bring, you know, put you in positions where you can be used by him, by simply yielding, giving him the right of way, spending time with God. You cannot go wrong by not spending time with God. I mean, when you spend time with God, that's one of the primary things you can do to enhance. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. And praying in the Holy Spirit, that strengthens you, is building you up, is making you more sensitive to spiritual things. One of the things I'm desiring more and more of, Lord, I want to be more sensitive. You know, there's a person at church right now who they're on my heart. I hadn't seen them in a while. I've been asking, you know, have anybody seen so and so? You know, I went to her husband. I said, now just, you know, let your wife know that we've been missing you, and we're praying for you, and just hang in there. You know, I know going through a rough time. When you're sensitive, God will put people on your heart. There was an individual a couple of years ago. I'm leaving church. The Lord put this individual on my heart, and I had my phone on me, and I knew his number. I had it in my cell, so I called him up. He was going through some financial difficulties. And, you know, I talked with him. I was encouraging him, and he was really grateful and said, Brother Greg, I really appreciate you calling me, and you've really encouraged me. I said, look, well, just anytime you need to talk, you got my number. You know, you don't have to go through it by yourself. You know, you're not alone. You know, we'll pray with you. We'll do whatever we can. And when I hung up from him, I felt relieved, but, you know, in essence, I knew there was still more that needed to be done. The only thing I regret is not following up the next day and the day after that, you know, because what I didn't know at that time, that was the last time I was going to speak to that person on this earth, You know, he died about 3 or 4 days later. You know, in fact, one of the church members came up to him and told me, you know, that, you know, he had died. And I said, oh, Lord Jesus. And I remember God telling me to call him. And I did, you know, but, you know, sometimes you say, Lord, if I was more sensitive, if I could have shared just a little bit more or been more of an encouragement, you know, maybe the situation might have changed. You know, God, you know, people's lives are in the balance. You know, us obeying God, you know, there are people that God has assigned you to that they won't get the word of God any other way but by hearing and listening to what you have to say. Because they because of your experiences and your upbringing and your background, there are people you can relate to that other people can't. You know, and it's very important to pray, Lord, you know, lead people my way that are assigned for me to minister to. You know, I remember there was a time when I wouldn't let the day go by where, Lord, I didn't witness to somebody. I said, Lord, lead the right person in my path. And there were several days, weeks maybe, that every day somebody would get saved. You know, but that's when you're just hot on the trail for God. And you see, one of the things we can't do is let everyday life, circumstances, work, responsibilities get in the way of our obligation of being about our Father's business. That's more important than anything. What we do for God is eternal. What we do to make a living is sufficient for the day, you know. But what we do for God is eternal, you know. And that's something God showed me years ago. He said, you know, you can't put a price tag on a life. You can't put a price tag, you know, on people being set free by the power of God. That's eternal, you know. And that's what the New Testament church, see, church unusual. A New Testament church is a church that's going about doing exploits, being what God has called them to be, being in position. And that's so very important. Let me just make sure I'm covering all the material that I want to cover. One of the things I want to talk about before I cover some more material, when I was in the school of ministry, it was called the school of ministry back 21, 22 years ago, one of the things the Lord shared with me, he said, son, don't be so concerned about your grade. You know, I get a lot of emails and some people missing, you know, I miss quiz number 4, or number 5, or the answer you had wasn't quite like the answer in the book, you know. And you know, and at first I was really saying, oh, man, I need to try to make everything more. The Lord told me, said, no, you write the answers down and you write the questions down the way I give them to you, you know. He told me, he said, don't be so concerned, even though grades are important. They're a measuring stick of you learning the material. But be more concerned about you getting the material in your spirit, digesting it internally. So what if you made a 50 or a 60 or, you know, whatever? You know, just make sure, hey, I go back and I get that material and I put it on the inside of me. You know, when I graduated from the school of ministry, during the graduation, I'll never forget this. You know, they have somebody who does the prospectus, somebody who does the class speech and people up, you know, and they were all the top people in the class get that opportunity under most situations, but not necessarily here. OK, but anyway, I got a call. You know, you're going to be doing the address, the prospectus. I said, OK, sure. Praise God. Then I get another call a couple of days later. Brother Greg, you're not going to be doing it. You know, pastor had assigned it to somebody else. It's okay. So I put all my material down. Then a day or two later, I get a call back. You're back on program. And I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? And I found out later there were people who were, how can I say this? They were bickering over, you know, well, I did better. You know, I had a higher score. You know, and the Lord was sharing this to me. He said, all of those people, my time, I got 5 minutes now. And Brother Leroy Jr. told me I can take my full 50 minutes. All of those people, I don't know where they're at now. You know, they're not connected to this ministry. Some of them I know aren't ministering anymore. You know, God told me, he said, be more concerned about getting the word into your heart, connecting to your man of God, and sticking with the assignment that God's called you to. You know, because what you're doing, you're fortifying yourself and you're getting that in your heart. And that's the beauty of it. That's what you want. You know, so when God is able to use you, he can draw it out. You know, when there's no water in the well, you can go to get a draw, but you ain't gonna get nothing but dust. But when you put, you know, the water being the Holy Spirit, but when you've been spending time in the Holy Spirit and God wants to use you, he can draw stuff out of you because you spent the time and you put it on the inside. You know, and every time we sit and we listen and we learn and we are part of these meetings and these services and these prayer meetings, God is filling up our well. You know, actually it's really a river. You know, I'm just using the illustration of a well, but the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself. Amen. All right. Any other church born or any other church born out of Jerusalem must need to continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, I single that out because the key is to continue in the apostles' doctrine. You know, when you drift away from the apostles' doctrine, if you're not careful, you can get into legalism. You can get into bigotry. You can get into self and other things that are not God. You know, the works of the flesh start to come in. You know, pride, arrogance. You know, all of these things. But when you continue, one of the things the New Testament church, for several chapters did, they continued. And if you notice, those first five or six chapters in the book of Acts. Especially, you know, when somebody got out of order, that's another thing. I'm thinking about Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they lied to the Holy Spirit. You want to make sure that whatever you commit, you know, to God, that you do it. Because, I mean, I'm talking serious business here. You want to commit unto God and fulfill your commitment, you know, fulfill your assignment. You know, if you said I'm going to do thus and so, well, you do it because you're not just saying it unto a man, but you're saying it unto God. You know, you're saying it unto God. Okay, it's telling me my time is completely up. I have a few more minutes, and I'm going to just begin to shut it down. All through the book of Acts, especially those first five or six chapters, they were, like I said, they were in one accord. And then I think it was Acts 5. But then once that happened, once the people, they lied and they fell down dead, Ananias, all of a sudden great fear came upon the church, reverential fear. You see, we're getting into these days now where reverential fear, a fear of respect and honor and that anointing. And you want to respect the anointing. You want to reverence that anointing. Amen. Because that anointing, as the prophet said, it'll turn on you if you don't respect it properly, if you don't give your attention to it and honor the anointing that's on somebody. You know, because see, God is restoring the fivefold ministry gifts back to their fullness, to where God intended those gifts to be. You know, and as we learn how to respect these gifts and these anointings, then what those gifts have for us, we're going to see those gifts and those blessings manifest in our lives. Amen? All right. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you next week.